staff, so we no longer need to take action on this item.
That's correct, the first two items.
First two items, and item number two. Okay.
That's correct.
So items number 3, 4, and 5, and 6, you will review with us now.
That's correct.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you, Director. The third item is the CMS contract for the tollway to purchase 6 remote control mowers. These units are required for the maintenance of uneven and inaccessible terrain with slopes of up to 40 degrees. Award is recommended to the lowest and responsive bidder, White House Equipment Sales, LLC, in an amount not to exceed $255,000. The fourth item is a tollway invitation for bid to purchase stroke screening services. This contract provides stroke screening services for all tollway employees every November. This service offers a baseline of information for employees so that they can make informed decisions about maintaining their health. Award is recommended to the lowest and responsive bidder, Blue Apple Health LLC, in an amount not to exceed $59,000. Fifth item is a tollway invitation for bid to purchase fire alarm inspection and repair services. This contract ensures that our fire alarms and sprinkler systems are working properly and are in compliance with local codes and ordinances. Award is recommended to the lowest and responsive bidder, Fox Valley Fire and Safety, in an amount not to exceed $98,255. The sixth and final item is a tollway sole source 2-year contract to purchase Coin County replacement parts. This contract provides a source for replacement parts for the tollway's 10 Mach 12 Coin County machines located in our cash handling room. Tollway staff utilize these parts to maintain and repair our machines. Award is recommended to the sole manufacturer and distributor for these parts, Tolaris Incorporated, in an amount not to exceed $100,000. And if there's no questions, we'd ask that these items be placed on the consent agenda for the full board.
I have a question regarding Blue Apple Health LLC, the stroke screening services.
Yes.
Was it ever included without a fee? Now there's a fee to be paid for these services?
We had this contract, I believe, last year, a similar, maybe Patrice could help me out, but last year, I believe, was the first year that we offered these stroke screening services.
But no, we've offered this for quite a while. We've always paid a fee for it, but we've always done it on a year-to-year basis. This is the first time that we provided a contract and asked for an invitation to bid to set something in place over time.
Okay.
That is a 3-year term.
Okay. But they were the only bidder, is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay.
We did do some outreach to some of the other vendors that were registered with the state with those given class codes, and a couple responses were that they didn't think they could be competitive enough, or, you know, this was small dollar amount for what they do, given that this is 3 years. And this vendor was a vendor that was selected last year, and we were happy with their service.
Okay. Thank you for bringing the contract also to our attention. I see we're just exceeded the $250,000 threshold. So,
yes, yeah. If it was $6,000 lower, we wouldn't have had to present it today, but it wasn't.
Okay. Any further questions regarding procurement items? Items 3, 4, 5, and 6. Okay, there being no further questions, do I have a motion to approve award contract items 3, 4, 5, and 6?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Moves to the consent full board agenda.
Thank you,
John. Item number 8, engineering. Paul.
Thank you, Director. We have a couple construction contract awards to recommend this morning. These first two items are for advanced work that we're going to perform on I-90. That's the Union Adams Memorial Tollway. It's going to occur in that western portion of I-90. And it marks the beginning of our work there. We're going to do some shoulder widening so that we can get set up for the first stage of the maintenance of traffic that's going to occur next year when we start rebuilding I-90. So the first contract is contract number 4036. This is a construction contract award. It's going to be for the shoulder widening I mentioned between Mosquito Creek and San Wall Road on the J. Namis Memorial Tollway. That's a roughly a 17.7-mile section. Current contracting company was the low bidder at $17,563,632.81, and they have committed to meeting our DBE requirement for this contract.
Question regarding the DBE requirement. Who are the firms you're using to accomplish that?
I believe all the DBE firms, subcontractors, are listed on the agenda item up there. I will note that because it's a construction contract, they are required to give us all their subcontracts at the time that they know them, and they especially do that for the DBE ones up front because we have a DBE goal included in our contracts. They are allowed to bring on additional subcontracts, subcontractors if they need them as the work progresses, and then of course as soon as they do, they have to provide us with that information. But going into the job, we know for sure that all these subcontractors listed on the agenda are going to be included in this work.
And then how do we verify they actually did do the work? Do we have a way to do that, or do we rely on somebody else to do that?
We do hire a construction manager to oversee all of our construction contracts for us, and they're our eyes and ears in the field, and what they have to do is follow a lot of guidelines for documentation and measurement of all the work that's performed for us. They have to make sure that's being done in accordance with our plans and our specifications and contracts, and they actually sign and each pay estimate that comes in documenting that they have inspected the work being performed, have measured the work being performed, have verified that it does meet our specifications, and that I'm allowed, or the tollway is allowed, to pay for that service. So in short, that's basically how we verify that they are going to be doing the work out there and that it is going to meet our requirements.
So they verify those subs are actually doing, providing a useful function when they're working out there.
Now, we are engaging our construction managers more on the DBE monitoring and compliance. And, you know, they do have to submit proper documentation that these subs are approved to work on the job, and then also we do have progress reports. I think it's every odd number pay estimate, they will submit, you know, any work performed by these DBE subs and how much work was performed and how much is remaining to be done. Both the contractor and the CM, I believe, sign those forms, and then at the end of the job, of course, they have to fill out another DBE form which verifies exactly how much work was done on that job compared to what they were originally contracted to perform, and they have to explain why there would be any variances in that.
And at the end, that's sometimes on the retainers. Is that why sometimes we hold it up to get verification?
Yes.
Because they haven't met those goals? Haven't provided the backup documentation?
Yeah, one of the key things before we release final retainers is to make sure that we coordinate with diversity to make sure that we understand if there is a DBE shortfall or not on that job, and what the explanation is, and you know whether or not we are comfortable granting the waiver. We also try to do that as the job is progressing, because I don't want to wait till the very end and find out, you know, there's no room to try to make it up. So we do have a good idea going into the final release.
That, well, it is our expectation that over the course, if they think there are going to be changes with their DBE, they're alerting us right away and getting approval.
Yeah, the contract requires them that if they make any change to the amount of work being performed by the subs, the DBE subs especially, that they are required to get the approval of the general manager of diversity is done. So typically the only reason acceptable reason at the end for DBE shortfall is because the tollway decided that they needed to remove scope, or the actual quantities weren't required, and there was no way for them to have any control over that. The prime contractor had no control over it.
Okay. Is that construction manager an outside service, or is that an in-house construction manager?
It is an outside consultant. We hire a firm to do it. They have to be out there whenever the contractor's out there. So it's a pretty big workforce on some of these larger jobs. We do assign a tollway project manager also, who acts as the coordinator for each one of those construction management contracts. So they participate in the progress meetings, they stay involved, they're monitoring the scope schedule and any issues that they're having, and, you know, keep us informed of how the work is progressing.
Where does that fit into the budgeting of this particular project, let's say? Where would I see that to know how much we paid the outside service?
That's going to be under a separate contract. The construction management contracts I bring to you for approval separately, and we tell, I inform the board of which jobs they're going to manage for us. And in fact, this one, we have a bulletin out right now to get the construction manager. I believe the statements of interest are due today on that, and we are going to bring them on board hopefully very quickly, and it will be coming to the board for your approval next month or maybe the following month, but hopefully in time, you know, before we get these guys going out there. It will be before they get going out there. I can't allow the construction to proceed without the construction manager.
Current contract date, when was the last time they were awarded the contract?
So I can't answer that right now. I would have to get back to you on that. I know that they have done work for the tollway. They're one of those firms that has, you know, asphalt plants out in the western portions of our system. So we typically see them bidding on the far western work on I-88 and also up on 990. I believe they do have one of the 88 resurfacing jobs that are in progress right now. So it was probably late last year when they got awarded.
But these, again, as a reminder on construction, are required to take low bid.
Yeah,
we only have two bidders on this one, only one on the next one.
Yeah, so we did a little follow-up on that also. There were actually six plan holders that we considered could bid this job as a prime, and four of them are represented in the two bids that we got, because you'll see the second low bidder here was a tri-venture.
The joint forces.
Yes. And, you know, the other one was Arrow Construction, and they weren't able to get their bid over here in time, so they weren't even considered. And then the last one, I believe, was Walsh, and Walsh was looking, they pulled the plans, but it didn't have really any concrete work in it, and typically they don't go after the asphalt work as aggressively as the paving work, concrete paving work. So we were, you know, monitoring that, the fact that we only got two bidders, but I will tell you that these bids were very competitive. We reviewed them. You know, it appears that they're, you know, very hungry for this work, and we are getting good prices right now, and so I was happy that it came in well under our engineer's estimate and our budget.
Because there's a limited number of bidders, should we consider, maybe this off, maybe the committee, something we can look at, raising the goal for the minority participation, because there's almost a monopoly here. Mm-hmm. Same contractors.
I don't think that we'd have the justification. As you know, the way we set our goals is looking at the work that's done for a certain project, and based, you know, relative to the availability of the marketplace, you know, that's the way we set goals. So it wouldn't necessarily change with the number of bidders or joint ventures or partners in a joint venture. I will say that we're looking at, you know, we believe, you know, particularly for some of this far western work where I think we've historically, maybe there's just fewer companies that maybe would perform that work, you know, what our alternatives are to, you know, encourage competition. As Paul said, it appears we're getting very good pricing here, but we always would rather see competition. And so, you know, we are taking a look at that.
Would you like me to go on to item two?
Why don't we take items, is there any questions on items one and items two regarding the board contract?
I think I need to
present item two.
Oh, yeah, okay, sorry.
So item two is kind of the sister contract to the first one. It's for additional shoulder widening on the GNAS. This one's going to be between the Kishwaukee River and Mosquito Creek. It's a 9.3-mile section. And in this case, the tri-venture of William Charles Construction Company, Plody Construction, and Rock Road Companies was the low bidder at $11,363,636.72, and they have committed meeting our DBE goal on this contract also.
Any questions regarding items 1 and 2?
Just an additional concern or that you just did bring up, Chair, about that there is only one respondent to this one here for the $11 million, which is William Charles Construction, which goes back to revisiting what we've talked about before about the unbundling of these contracts, that maybe we could get more participation. And also when they do come in with their diversity MBE goals, I know that they did meet the goals of 18%. But when you really look at the diversity program detail, 75% of the 18% are white women-controlled firms. And the 25% that is set aside for the Hispanic and African Americans of the 18% actually ends up being about 4% of this contract is going to African American and Latinos. And I hope that there's a little bit more on the primes to start looking at how they break up their diversity program detail between the Caucasian females, the Hispanics, and the African American, as well as the Asians, because even though they did here meet the goal of 18%, only 5% is going to African American and Latino firms. And again, so hopefully we can, in the future, let these primes know that diversity obviously is good, but we also would like to see a nice fair share when we're looking at the diversity program detail in these contracts.
Thank you. No further questions. I'd like to hear a motion in regards to the awarding of a contract for current contracting item 1, award contracts to William Charles under item 2. Do I have a motion to approve?
I move.
Second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Moves to the consent to full board agenda. Item number 3, 4, 5, I guess through 7 are all final retained releases.
That's correct. All the work on these contracts has been completed and accepted. Item 3 is a request for final release of the change in the amount of $247,518.57, and this is on contract 5539 that we had with R.W. Dunkelman, and this was a contract in which they constructed the bioswales along the tri-state tollway. I did note that there was a shortfall on the DBE amount, and that was primarily due to us moving the contract from a spring planting to a fall planting. It actually reduced the overall contract amount, and it also reduced some of the work that the DBEs were going to perform because we didn't need summertime watering, and we also didn't need some of the soil erosion and landscaping items. So this was reviewed and evaluated by both engineering and the diversity unit as recommended for award. Should I go on to item 4?
Yes, please.
So item 4 is a request for final release of retainage, and this is in the amount of $394,391.60. This is on contract 5588 with Plody Construction. This is for work that they performed for us on Jamie Adams last year. They did exceed their DBE requirement, and we did downscope this job, you know, once the Move Illinois program was done. So we eliminated some of the patching that was included in this contract, recognizing that, you know, we are going to be out there rebuilding it hopefully very soon. Item 5 is another final release of retainage. This is for in the amount of $79,292.73. This is on contract 5591, and that's the contract we have with Passion, FH Passion SM Nielsen. They did some bridge repair work for us, and this one, they've also exceeded our DBE goal. Item number 6, final release of retainage in the amount of $136,779 on contract 5626. This is with R.W. Dunkelman. They did have a DBE shortfall on this, and this shortfall we did evaluate also with diversity and within engineering. We eliminated a culvert line for a 48-inch culvert, and when they got out in the field, the culvert, some of the sections of the pipe were disjointed, so they couldn't install the liner. We recognized that the work was going to be a lot more than we had anticipated, so we're breaking this out and we're going to treat it under a separate contract, and we still have to complete, you know, what the actual fix is going to be, what the design is, so we had to remove that from the contract. So that is an example of how the prime contractor, you know, really didn't have any choice in the matter on this one. And the last one, item 7, is a request for final release of retainage in the amount of $224,036.39. This is on contract 5628 with John Burns Construction, and this is the contract in which they installed the our camera washing system, which we installed on 26 of our high traffic open road tolling locations. And they also had a DD shortfall. We made an adjustment, a design adjustment, based on the first system that we installed. We tested it, we had to make an adjustment in the tube sizes, and that produced an increase in the overall contract, not by very much. It didn't necessarily, this work wasn't to be performed by the DB, so even though the DB subs did do all the dollar amount of the work that they had originally been contracted for, it represented a little lower overall percentage of the overall contract because the contract increased a little bit. So that's the that's the last item.
That's you want to explain 8? We're going to pull that item.
Yes, item 8 was going to be another final release request that we need additional time to coordinate with engineering and within the diversity unit on the DB shortfall there, and how be in a better position to present that next month.
Thank you. Any questions on items 3 through 7? Final release of retainage. No further questions. Move for approval of items 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7 for final release retainage. We have a motion to approve.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Moves to the consent full board agenda. Thanks, Paul. Legal.
Thanks, Director. We have a number of items, the first of which we suggest discussing here in the open meeting, and the remainder of the list would move to an executive session discussion.
Okay.
So I'll present right now number 1 on your agenda, which is an IGA, an intergovernmental agreement between the Tollway, Illinois Department of Transportation, and Cook County. This agreement has been in the works for quite some time, well before my arrival, but it is now ready to go. It is a necessary early stage agreement, fairly straightforward, basically saying that each of these parties is ready to proceed in earnest on the 294-57 interchange. It will allow for a more timely and cost-effective progression of that work, which is very important. We are basically going to be doing some early stage work around titling the property, preparing plats, doing surveys, legal descriptions, and the like. It is not expected to be in any way a costly type of agreement, only de minimis expenses related to filings in the various recorder's offices. And again, it would allow also for our group to get in early and have access to each of these properties, even if it is not titled today in the tollway. So it will allow the progress to begin without any holdups. That's the essence of our agreement, and we would strongly recommend that it get approved. It will also need to be approved, of course, at each of these other organizations, which I understand work is in progress simultaneously with us. Certainly take any questions, but that's the gist.
Any questions? Need a motion for approval?
Or to move to our consent for next week.
Okay.
Yeah.
So move. Second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next items under workers' compensation, we'll discuss these items in the executive session.
We will. We have some workers' compensation litigation matters. We have what we call number 5, or the Benedetto identification of parcels with private parties that we typically discuss in executive session and then have only published at the time of the open board meeting for obvious reasons, and then an approval of a condemnation proceeding that is in litigation today.
Okay. Thank you. So right back. Any unfinished business?
I think that just we wanted to have an opportunity on workers' compensation generally to maybe give just a couple slide presentation on our process. And we had last year given a similar kind of overview presentation, but I know there have been several new board members who may not be as familiar. We thought it'd be a good opportunity just to walk through, and Mike Stone is going to give that if we can.
Sure.
Make some comments.
Thank you, Christy. Good morning, directors. As Christy said, we thought it might be timely to review the workers' compensation process and as well as attempts we make to contain costs relative to that process. The workers' comp process is a process that's managed by our safety and training unit, first, who receive reports of an injury, as well as our benefits workers' comp unit, who manages the actual workers' comp process. And we also have assistance from risk management and finance. Once an employee is injured, the claim is received in our workers' comp area, usually a day or two after the injury, and the claim is administered through an online process with our third-party administrator. And a claims adjuster is assigned to that work to manage the case. The claims adjuster is responsible for collecting medical records, paying bills, and coordinating the claim with the workers' comp supervisor and employee within our workers' comp unit. Also, we've been successful in making sure that all employees who need an immediate prescription are able to access without paying out-of-pocket expenses directly and waiting for reimbursement through a prescription card. Employees can get an initial prescription filled the day of the injury and through our vendor. This works to both provide assistance, immediate assistance to the employee so that they can begin, so they don't have to pay these expenses out of pocket. It also is a measure to contain costs for us. There's also often a nurse case manager assigned to coordinate and assist the employee in this process, which is another measure for us to both make sure that the process is efficient as well as we contain costs. During treatment and recovery, there are a few options for employees which can change throughout the process. One of the options is to continue with regular duty. An employee may be injured but still able to perform their primary duties. Transitional duty is often also considered, often within the employee's own department, though sometimes it occurs outside of that department, or the employee may be off duty during that time. These are typically set by the medical provider, and in some cases we may seek a second opinion to make sure that the appropriate option is chosen. Once the employee has completed the recovery process and is ready to return to work in one capacity or another, the case is resolved and the employee continues in their previous position or in an alternative position within the tollway, or which is all determined by the employee's restrictions after recovery, again determined in connection with the medical provider. Vocational rehab is often sometimes completed as well to assist a return to work for the employee, and also as a cost containment measure as well. So this is an example of a way in which costs related to workers' comp claim can quickly add up. There are a variety of different categories. One is TPD, or temporary total disability. It's paid out at two-thirds of the average weekly wage of the employee, and is paid for each employee each week that they're unable to work as a result of their work-related injury or illness. TPD, or permanent partial disability, is paid based on the relative value based on the body part that was injured, the percentage of the body part that was injured, and the maximum compensation allowable. Then there can be other expenses such as medical treatment, the cost of the legal defense, and other expenses, which all tend to add up. Important to note, this is just an example of the type of costs, and not all these costs would occur in each situation. So you may recall that during 2011, we were able to revise our workers' comp claim funding reserve. Workers' comp claim funding has steadily increased over time as medical costs for injured employees combined with TTD and settlement have increased. But the tollway has been successful in changing that trend in recent years. We revised, lowered our workers' comp claim funding reserve in 2011. So we utilize a few methods to attempt to limit our costs. First and foremost, we work closely with managers and supervisors to make sure that all accidents are reported promptly to prevent injuries from becoming more severe. We ask that they report the incidents to our safety and workers' comp units as soon as employees mentions it. We also stress the importance of investigating accidents to mitigate risks that may exist in the workplace. We work with the employees to obtain immediate witness statements. And the most important step, of course, is to make sure the employee has optimal and immediate treatment for an injury. And as I mentioned before, we assigned a nurse case manager to help oversee that process and help the employee with the treatment process to contain costs as well. Another step that we've taken is to provide a video that may be utilized by medical providers to help them understand the duties of the tollway and to aid them in making an informed decision about an employee's ability to return to work. And then finally, we take various safety measures to ensure that our employees are or prevent accidents before they happen. Including working with our safety unit. A new development that we have recently become a part of is the Transportation Industry Safety Advisory Council. This is a council made up of a few different transportation agencies, and we are exchanging and sharing information about industry best practices on how to keep workers safe. And I am available for any questions if you have them.
Any questions? Very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any new business? New business? Okay. There being none. Dave, do you recommend a motion to go
into
executive session?
Sure. Pursuant to certain exceptions from the Open Meetings Act, management will recommend moving to executive session to discuss, among other matters, certain litigation and personnel matters at this time.
Okay.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor? Say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We are now in executive session.